This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Lowest jobless claims in almost 60 years. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. The number of people filing for unemployment benefits dropped 10,000 from last week to hit 202,000. That's the lowest level since early December of 1969. And tomorrow, the Commerce Department will give us the official number of jobs created in the economy last month. Should tell us a lot. People are especially curious, given how dismal the last one was for February, just 20,000 jobs. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, joins us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you say you think we're going to see a bounce back in jobs. Why do you say that, and how big of a bounce back do you think we're going to get?
We're going to see a bounce back after seeing only 20,000 jobs in the month of February. And what we're seeing is ongoing upward pressure on wages. And we're starting to generate more higher quality jobs as well.
What do you mean by that?
Much of the wage gains we've seen have been at the entry level. And that's great because workers that are paid very low wages have seen some rapid increases. And that's where the bulk of wage gains have been accelerating. But what we're also seeing is a shift in the composition of jobs that we're generating. Earlier in the expansion, in fact, much of the expansion, we were generating a lot of low-quality jobs. Now we're generating more high-quality jobs. They're not seeing wage acceleration like they are at the lower level, but at least they're seeing the volume of jobs out there. And those are important jobs for those college graduates that we're finally generating out there, able to get employment, not underemployment.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Thanks.
Thank you.
Broadcast TV news coverage of climate change declined 45% from 2017 to 2018, according to a report from Media Matters, a left-leaning advocacy group. The major news programs on the networks ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox aired a combined total of 142 minutes of climate change coverage throughout all of last year. Marketplace's Erica Barris has more.
The report found that even when the networks had an opportunity to mention climate change during stories about wildfires and hurricanes, they didn't. Rick Edmonds, a media analyst at the Poynter Institute, says it's a complicated issue.
You know, it's not something that fits into a soundbite or a one-minute segment very often.
But Max Boykoff at the University of Colorado says climate change coverage on cable, radio, written, and social media is holding steady. Still, declining coverage has consequences.
One of the critical ways that decision makers, for better or worse, prioritize issues are based on what is percolating up in the media, and they're responding to that.
Lisa Hymas with Media Matters worked on the report. In 2017, coverage spiked when President Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Agreement.
And Trump made a big spectacle of that. He had a big ceremony in the Rose Garden. And so lots of media paid attention to that.
As for this year, with the Green New Deal proposal getting attention, network news coverage of climate change may tick back up. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Gross domestic product, GDP, it's been around since the 30s, and we take it to be a measure of an economy's performance, even a country's well-being. It is a measure of all things consumed and produced in a nation's economy, with one important caveat: it measures things that have prices, which means it misses a lot. MIT professor Eric Brynjolfsson makes this argument in a paper where he and his colleagues Avinash Kolis and Felix Eggers try to quantify some of the economic benefits we receive that GDP cannot measure. Welcome.
My pleasure.
So what are some examples of the things that don't get counted that should in some way?
In brief, anything that has zero price. So household production, you know, people doing housework, digital goods, the environment, clean air, those are all missing from GDP. Our research is particularly focused on those digital goods because that's really exploded over the past decade or two.
Then how do you measure their value to us if there is no price attached?
The best way, according to economic theory, is a concept called consumer surplus. And the idea is you try to understand what people would have been willing to pay even if they didn't actually pay it. So for instance, if I buy a pair of shoes and I have to pay $70 for them, but I would have paid as much as $100, then that difference, $30, is my consumer surplus. That's how much benefit I get. And pretty much anything you buy has some consumer surplus, else you wouldn't buy it.
I know you guys have done some calculations with, for example, Facebook. How much do we value, for example, Facebook?
So the value we got for Facebook was a median value of $48 per month. And the way we got that value was we offered a bunch of different values to different people, some people $10, some people $50, some people $100, and lots of other numbers. And then we said, you know, would you be willing to take this money to give up Facebook for a month? But we also wanted to enforce it to make sure they were telling the truth. And what we found was that the median value was $48. We also did some non-digital goods. The most valuable good that we tested was indoor plumbing, toilets. So not surprisingly, that was one that people really didn't want to give up even for very high values. Although if you pay them enough, they will give it up.
Although those things people do pay for. I mean, those aren't like mysteries, right?
Well, actually, they are a little mysteries in the sense that, yes, people pay for them. But until we did our work, we didn't know how much value they got above and beyond what they paid for them.
Well, if you add in the value of unmeasured things into GDP, throw in the digital goods, throw in environmental benefits, what understanding does that bring us to look at this new kind of measure of GDP?
We have been measuring very carefully some things, a lot of physical goods and services, but we haven't been measuring the value of the environment or digital goods. And that means that policymakers, when they're trying to see where is value coming and how is the economy growing, they've been missing that understanding.
Eric Brynjolfsson, professor of management at MIT and director of the MIT Initiative on the Digital Economy, thanks so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.